Chapter 1. I rode through the night-drenched streets of Atlanta on a mammoth donkey. The donkey's name was Cuddles. She was 10 feet tall, including the ears, and her black and white hide suggested she might have held up a Holstein cow in some dark alley and was now wearing her clothes. My own blood-splattered outfit suggested I'd had an interesting night. Most mounts would have been nervous about letting a woman covered with that much blood on their back, but Cuddles didn't seem to mind. Either it didn't bother her, or she was a pragmatist who knew where her carrots were coming from. The city lay in front of me, deserted, quiet, and steeped in magic, unfurling its streets to the starlight like a moonlit flower. Magic ran deep through Atlanta tonight, like a current of some phantom river, slipping into the shadowy places and waking hungry things with needle-long teeth and glowing eyes. Anyone with a drop of common sense hid behind reinforced doors and barred windows after dark. Unfortunately, for me, common sense was never among my virtues. As Cuddles quietly clopped her way down the street, the sounds of her hoofbeats unnaturally loud, the night shadows watched us, and I watched them back. Let's play Who Can Be a Better Killer. My sword and I love this game. None of the monsters took the bait. It might have been because of me, but most likely it was because one of them was moving parallel to my route. They smelled him, and they hid, and hoped he would pass them by. It was almost midnight. I'd had a long day. My back ached, my clothes smelled of fetid blood, and a hot shower sounded heavenly. I had made 2 apple pies last night, and I was pretty sure that at least one piece would be left for me. I could have it tonight with my tea before I went to bed. An annoying spark of magic ignited my mind. A vampire. Oh, goody. The spark buzzed in my brain like an angry mosquito and moved closer. The Immortus pathogen, the disease responsible for vampirism, killed the minds of its victims, leaving behind an empty shell driven by an all-consuming bloodlust. Left to its own devices, a vampire would hunt and slaughter, and when it ran out of things to kill, it would starve to death. This particular bloodsucker wasn't free to rampage because its blank mind was held in a telepathic grip by a necromancer. The necromancer, or navigator as they were called, sat in a room far away, directing the vampire with his will as if it were a remote-controlled car. The navigator heard what the vampire heard, saw what the vampire saw, and if the vampire opened its mouth, the navigator's words would come out of it. Meeting a bloodsucker this far south meant it belonged to the people, an odd hybrid of a corporation and a research facility whose personnel dedicated themselves to the study of the undead and making money on the side. The people avoided me like the plague. 2 months ago, they had figured out that the man behind their organization, the nearly immortal wizard with godlike powers and legendary magic, happened to be my father. They had some difficulty with that development. So the vampire wasn't for me. Still, I knew most of the people's patrol routes, and this undead was definitely off course. Where the hell was it going? No, not my circus, not my undead monkeys. I felt the vampire make a 90-degree turn heading straight for me. Home, shower, apple pie. Maybe if I said it like a prayer, it would work. The distance between us shrank. Home, shower. An undead leaped off the roof of the nearest 2-story house and landed on the road next to me, gaunt, each shallow muscle visible under the thick hide, as if someone had crafted a human anatomy model out of steel wire and poured a paper-thin layer of rubber over it. Damn it! The undead unhinged its mouth, and Gastek's dry voice came out.
You're difficult to find, Kate.
Well, well. The new...